News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT, Brett Witterbull Show. Great to be here with you. I want to welcome to the program somebody who has done something that I admire immensely. I've been clamoring for somebody to do something like this. You would have no idea that I've been clamoring for this, but I really have been. He is Matthew Hennessy, the Wall Street Journal deputy op-ed editor. He is the author of a terrific new book that's going to be so helpful for so many of you, called Visible Hand, A Wealth of Notions on the Miracle of the Market. And he joins us now. Matthew, thank you so much for joining us today.
No, it's great to be here, Brett. Thanks for having me.
So you wanted to write this book, right? You've got kids ranging in age from 5 to 18, and you wanted to write this book to celebrate the lessons that you got from your dad, but also to teach kids in plain English and other people about economics.
Yeah, I could tell from hanging out with my kids and from talking to them that they're a lot like me. When I was their age, I was into books, music, baseball, and a little bit of hockey, but not that much. Mm-hmm. I really didn't pick up anything having to do with economics or the way markets work until I was like 30 years old. And I kind of wanted to give them a shortcut, kind of spare them, the pain. I think a lot of people are like that. Economics sounds like math. It sounds like homework. It sounds like really the kind of stuff you want to keep as far away from you as possible. You get out into the world and you know, you realize it would be a little bit helpful to have something of a grounding in this kind of stuff. So I wanted to write a book for them, but also to write a book for the kind of people that don't like economics or think they don't like it.
Right. And the thing is, you know, supply and demand, that's an everyday thing that we deal with. Incentives, trade-offs, scarcity, innovation, work, leisure. These are all concepts that we pretty much run into almost every day of our daily lives, right? Especially now with the empty shelves.
Yeah, and what I want people to know or understand after reading my book, that a lot of this stuff is very intuitive. So you mentioned my dad. He had no training in business, or he had never taken a class in meeting a payroll or ordering inventory or paying taxes or any of the kinds of things you think you need to know in order to start a business. And at about 50 years old, he started one, or he bought one, a small business, a little bar in our hometown, and he turned it into a major success. And, you know, it was only after he was retired and I had a chance to sort of think about what I had seen by living in his house and working with him at the bar, was that, you know, anybody can do this. My book is not really a sort of a guide to starting a small business. It's not an economics textbook.
Right.
But I hope it will leave readers thinking they know more about this stuff, about the way markets work, than they realize.
When you look at your kids, when did you start introducing these concepts to them? Just as I have two teenagers, right, in my house. One's in college and one's about to go to college. And so we've tried to talk to them about the way you manage money and the way you don't overspend and you do those sorts of things. But I don't think we ever got down to like the supply and demand concept and things like that. And teachers are so overwhelmed with so many other things they've got to cover now. We can't rely on the teachers to teach it. So we've got to do it as parents, right?
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of basic economics in primary education. Mm-hmm. You might get lucky in your kid's high school. I think there was an economics class in my high school when I was a kid, but it was really the impression I got was that it was for kids who were going to study accounting in college, and I definitely wasn't that kind of a guy. Here's what I think. I think kids don't know what money is or where it comes from. So you can't start with that. All they know is that they don't have any, and that if they did, their lives would be easier. You can't start with that. It's a source of pain and aggravation and confusion.
Right.
You have to start with the concept that life is about trade-offs. That's really the nub of this thing. So every chance I get with my kids, I stress that essential reality when they're talking about what they're going to do with the weekend or where they want to go to college or whether they're going to get a job for the summer or hang out with their friends. I constantly come back to this idea that life is about trade-offs. You can't get something for nothing. If you want something of value, you're going to have to give up something of value or something that really matters to you to get it. That might just be time, it might be energy, or it might be money. But you have to understand the concepts before you start getting bogged down on some of the, crashing your boat against the shoals of some technical financial terms having to do with money and interest rates and all the kinds of things that put people to sleep, especially teenagers.
Matthew Hennessy joining us. He's with the Wall Street Journal, but he's got this terrific new book out that is so instructional for kids. Visible Hand: A Wealth of Notions on the Miracle of the Market for His Children. People believe, I don't want to turn this into a political back and forth in terms of how we kind of look at the world. I'm a capitalist. I appreciate the notion of capital and all of this, but there is the miracle in the market, and you've got that in your title. And I think that's a hugely important point, because we have a lot of politicians and activists and people that are running around thinking that the market can be, quote, managed. The market has its own pulse, its own heartbeat, doesn't it? Based on supply and demand. And when you get into these worlds where you artificially change that, it creates catastrophe, doesn't it?
Yeah, you can't manage the market too much more than you can manage gravity. That is to say, if you have a rocket ship, you can kind of beat it, and you can get out of having to be controlled by gravity. But most of us in our economic lives don't have anything like a rocket ship.
Right.
So we have to live within the sort of universe and the laws of the universe that we find ourselves in. And if your attitude is that we can overcome these forces, or we can manipulate them, or we can turn them to our own advantage, or we can squelch them or rewire them, we don't have to live by their rules, you're going to be in for a lot of heartache and pain. And we've run this experiment so many times over the last 100 years or 150 years that I'm surprised that we haven't learned the lessons that we should have learned. I mean, some of us have, but it seems like we have to just keep banging the drum, because every new generation embraces bad policy ideas and acts as if they're brand new, and mm-hmm. and the outcomes will be different this time. You know, that's the main thing always. This time will be different are some of the most dangerous words in the English language.
Absolutely. Okay, a final question for you. It's not regarding the book. I just, you're at the Journal, and you're looking at the current events, things that are happening out there in the world today. So I'm just going to ask you this question. I'm not going to jam you up. I'm just curious. Do you think it's going to get weirder than it's already gotten so far, Matthew, in terms of just the way the markets are, supply and demand, inflation? Are you expecting it to get much more turbulent?
Well, it's going to get weird for people who don't remember, which is most of us,
yep.
who don't remember what it's like to live in this kind of crazy inflationary environment. Inflation makes you nuts. Mm-hmm. It destroys your savings. It destroys your confidence in the ability of the money you've earned to purchase things. All of the things that we've taken for granted in this country for a long time, anybody younger than me, mm-hmm. and I'm not that old. I'm about 50. Mm-hmm. Doesn't really remember a time when it cost money to borrow money. So we've just been living in an environment where you could borrow as much as you wanted to buy a house or to buy a car,
right,
or to go to college without that much pain involved in having to pay the money back. Obviously, we all have a little bit of interest we have to pay on our credit cards or whatever.
Right.
But we're talking real interest yeah. here. You know, in the early 80s, you couldn't get a mortgage for anything under double digits, and
That's
sometimes
right.
in the high double digits. We're just not used to those kinds of interest rates and how it will affect our everyday choices. So, yeah, it's going to get weird. It's going to get painful, because we're entering into a cycle here where the cure is worse than the disease, and we've only just started feeling the first scratch in our throat of the disease. And once we have to start taking the medicine, we're all going to be walking around, like with our bells rung.
In our generation, we saw those double-digit inflation rates or interest rates, and we also saw stated income when you buy a house, which is really nuts, right, when you think about
it. Yeah.
All right, Matthew Hennessy, it's a great new book. You've got to get this. Get this and get your kids to read it, folks, because they need to learn this. You need to learn this. Visible Hand: A Wealth of Notions on the Miracle of the Market. I appreciate you coming by. I'd love to catch up with you again, and all the best with this book, my friend.
Sure. Thank you very much for having me. I really like talking to you. Thanks a lot.
You're very welcome. That's Matthew Hennessy. Be sure to get that book.